So tonight, today still, I want to talk about abundance in every way, which I really like this subject a lot. If the Bible didn't have a whole lot to say about it, I wouldn't want to be talking about it, but he has a lot to say about it, far more than we recognize, especially if we hadn't had abundance for a while, whatever it is, healing, finances, whatever it is. So I want to talk, first of all, about the good and the bad news of abundance. So is there any bad news? Well, I'll explain to you what I mean by that. So hopefully everybody has an outline. It should say abundance in every way. There's some more in the back if you need those, or you can raise your hand. Maybe an usher will get to you, all right? So let's look at John chapter 10, verses 10. The good news, the amazing intent of God. I think this wonderful John 10:10 is one of the most amazing verses on God's intent toward us. And so you have two things parallel here. Here's the first one. The thief comes only to do what? Steal and kill and destroy. So if you're getting stolen from, killed, or destroyed, you know where it came from. Right? So the frustrating thing is, so how we work theologically God and all of that when it doesn't seem to be removed. But here's the next line. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I like that very, very much. Because he says life into the full. So we're talking about all kinds of things here. Not just healing, not just money, but everything. What would make fullness for you? Jesus came for that purpose. That's what he said. You know, the thief comes for this. Just to steal from you, to kill, destroy that which you love, what you're about. And the Lord comes to do this, that they might have life and have it to the full. Every part of you, every part of your life, which is really, really good news. So that's the amazing intent of God. So let's just look at that, this intent, on a couple more verses. If you look at A1 on your outline there, 1A1, and you can just follow with me a little bit. And some of these passages, by the way, I'm glad I have them written down because they are absolutely outstanding. They're really, as I was preparing or something, I was feeling better and better by the time I got to the end of the sermon. It was great. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's just read through these verses. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, you go, oh, that's not me. Forget it. Check out. God knew you were going to have trouble fully obeying all his commands. So he put in an escape clause. His name is Jesus Christ. He foreshadowed it by the blood of animals. But you can be forgiven. You can receive even despite not following his commands because the thing is the intent to do that. And when you sin, you just say, Lord, I did it. Honestly, I did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And it's disconnected from your life. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands. By the way, that's a command, asking for forgiveness. It's part of the Lord's prayer. Forgive us for our sins as we forgive others who sin against us, which is basically are tied together as well, right? So don't let that first part, carefully follow all his commands, dissuade you. It just means your intent to walk with God as much as you know, right? As much as you're aware of his commands. Sometimes we're not aware of commands and things that would have done us a lot better 10 years ago if we understood, right? Because everything in this book is made for abundance, for goodness, for grace and mercy on you. And God had to underscore that with one principal thing. That is, he sent his son and shed blood for you to prove that. And rose him from the dead to prove to you that he had the power to be good to you. Which is amazing. And the first thing he does is he separates you from your weakness and your sin and your failures, right? So he says, and carefully follow his commands I give you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. So here comes all this good news. And this is something you, especially as a New Testament believer, get to pray over all of it. It's so good. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And if you disobey in our season or you make a mistake, guess what? You get to cover that by the blood and ask God to forgive you. So here you go. There's no getting out of these commands, these blessings. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Obviously, I don't think very many have any flocks here, but he's talking about the way you make a living. Your basket and your kneading trough will be filled. You will be blessed when you will come in, and blessed when you go out. I really like that one. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Now, why is God so poetic about that? He just wants you to know, hey, guys, I'm on your team. I'm on your side. I got this. You come at you, but you're going to flee from seven. I just want to emphasize how much I'm on your side. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns, on your bank, on everything you put your hand to. Wow, everything. You got to be kidding me. Everything I put my hand to? The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. So the thing is, he's given you these promises, so it's our responsibility to believe that he actually means what he says. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the Lord, name of the Lord, and they will fear you. Okay, now that's the key thing here. This issue of your blessing isn't only about you. It's about they see you and they get blessed. They recognize God's on you. God's with you. They recognize it. All the peoples on the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you because of the very blessing, the very anointing of God on you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Does it get any clearer than that? In the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground. This is all agrarian, but it's financial issues here and family issues. In the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. I get happy just reading these passages. This is good. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or the left, following other gods and serving them, other philosophies, other ideas about how to live for God. Now, this is why this nice big, and I got a huge one now, this gigantic thing, Bible is in front of you. He decided to write it down because people say, well, what is his commands? Man, that's a pretty good deal if I follow his commands. What's his command? Well, here's a whole book full of them. And it's not that complicated because what God does is so genius is he all teaches us direct commands in some places, but then he just tells all these stories of people who are dealing with God and dealing with his commands and making good choices and in some cases making poor choices. So he gave you a whole book, all hundreds of years of history of people understanding what I just said, right? And then let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, just a couple chapters later. Verse 1, when all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, so what he's doing is he's laying it out. You do this, it's going to be good for you. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. He's like foreshadowing something's going to happen here because you're not exactly going to be very good at this. You're going to actually turn away, and I'm going to end up dispersing you in all the nations. But Israel itself should tell you something. How many years was Israel dispersed amongst the nations? Wow. A long time. And yet he brought them back. And he brought them back in your viewing. This thing that happened in Israel is a sign and a wonder for all of you. God didn't give up on them. They gave up on God, but he didn't give up on them. And not all of them gave up on God, dispersed the nations. But guess what? There's this little place called Israel. And isn't it conspicuous that Israel, this little tiny place, is still the center of so much world history and so much thinking? It's so weird how such a small place could affect the whole world. And we know why. So, take them out. Wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, even being judged in the nations, you can still take them to heart. Even when you're in a bad place, you can still take these things to heart. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord God will restore your fortunes. That's the good news. God will restore your fortunes. He doesn't leave you in a dark place, cursed and unblessable. God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. And that word, compassion, is the key word. Sometimes it gets obscured and even the Old Testament pops up here and there, but it's at the basis of everything God is. If he's not about compassion, then why follow him? If he's not about compassion, how do I even have a chance? How do I even have a chance to prosper, right? Have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land of the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. In other words, I'm going to give you even more than I gave your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. Wow. And even when you blow it big, even when you blow it as an entire nation, God's prosperity is still near, not far away, still obtainable, still possible in your life. So I love these verses so much. They give us so much encouragement. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As a New Testament Christian, you are blessed with a righteousness that comes from Jesus. See, the whole issue with regard to the Old Testament people was blood of animals and goats didn't do much good for them. It helped them, and they were followed it, but then they even didn't follow that. But it was all foreshadowing something even bigger. The involvement of all humanity through the ministry of one nation for all the nations. And this amazing Jesus who had become as a Jew, one of them, but would take on himself the sins of the whole world and make it possible for all peoples to come to know God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So literally, he became sin. All the sins of the whole earth were put on him. All of our failures, past, present, and future. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Meaning, so that in him I might come into right standing with God. Right relationship with God. By the way, right relationship with some gods wouldn't be so great. What people think of as God. But this God is a good God. That's actually Christianity 101, but I think it's one of the hardest things for people to actually believe. Because you look through your life and you see this, this, and this, you know, and the enemy all along the way is trying to speak in your ear, God's not good, God's not good, God's not good. Matter of fact, I think the entire battle of our life revolves into one thing. Does God love me or not? Is God good or not? And then finally, can God make me good? And that's what this verse is about. He made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, we come into right standing, right relationship with God. That which divided us, our sin, our failures, and closed us off from God is no longer closed. It's open. All we have to do is say, as we're going to see right here in this verse, 1 John 1:8 and 9, so if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, admit it, I did it, Lord. I was wrong. I had the stinking attitude. I've been wrong in this for a while here. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So the issue here is not whether you're going to be perfect anymore. The issue is whether you're going to follow God. And one of the ways you're going to follow God is if you make a mistake, you just tell him you did it. Admit it and say, sorry, God. Wow, what a deal. This is all because of a higher power that had to be exerted through Jesus Christ to come in the form of a man and make this sacrifice possible for all of humanity. That sacrifice reaches back into history and reaches forward into history for all who believe, all who trust in God. And we have the good news of being able to look back and see what God did and now into our future with confidence. And when we make a mistake, we just say, sorry about that, I did it. And we don't ever want to be in a place, either intentionally or just sort of ignoring. I know sometimes I just sort of ignore things, right, that I do wrong. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So it's so much easier to do this. And it's almost so easy that it feels like, well, this is just too simple. And also, they're thinking, well, wonder if I just keep sinning and then ask, forgive me, sin. You know, obviously, there's no genuineness in that. So there's a genuineness here that we're talking about. But that's taken care of by the Spirit who lives inside you. Because once you become a believer, you become a Christian. Which means Christ is living in you. And guess what this Christ living in you through the Holy Spirit's doing? He's always yakking at you. He's always talking to you. Even when you stop listening, stop think you're walking away, you can still feel him trying to bring you back, trying to get you to good news. The bad news is, this is B on your outline, many people cannot handle the prosperity God wants to give, which is a real horrible thing. I tell you, God gives us these gifts and prosperity and all of this, and we just do everything we can to let the enemy come in the door and swipe it by our sin and by our hard head and by actually number one issue, unbelief. We just stop believing. Because when you believe in Jesus strong enough and you believe in his word, then you don't have a problem. This is when you fade away. Stop believing the good news, then you start also believing the bad news. That was a good thing to say. Good job. Okay. So he gives this parable, right? And it's the parable of the sower, and it's talking about the seed that's sowed in a person, right? And so he gives various categories of people. People like seed along the path where the word's sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, what was sown in them. This good news I'm even giving. Some seeds like on rocky places, they hear the word and receive it with joy, but then when they have a big problem and persecution comes, they just fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. In other words, you begin to walk with God, but this is the most dangerous of all, because sometimes it's very subtle. You know, it's very subtle that we actually fall more in love with the wealth that we have and the lifestyle that we have. And if it was just so obvious that like a big old horn goes off every time you do this, beep, 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 you would know, right? But it's subtle. That's why it says the deceitfulness of wealth. It's sneaky. It sneaks up on you a little bit. And part of it is you become the victim of your own success. There's never been generations that have lived as wealthy as we have, live in this place. And you can see it, and one of the best things you could possibly do for your life, go walk in another country for a while and see how most people of the world live. When you see that, you'll also see how most people of the world have lived throughout all of history. We live in a weird bubble, historically and also practically for the whole world. That's one of the best things you could ever do for your kids is let them see the other side of the world. Encourage them to go to India and China and difficult places. You know, all of the world, the majority of the world, my. So the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desire for other things come in and choke the word, choke this understanding of the world, choke this understanding of even the goodness of God. We start taking it for granted and then we just let things slide and we do things we know are bad for us, but we don't care because we're hardened. We think we suddenly become invincible. It's the worst place to be in. And the enemy just says, that's very interesting. He switched sides. He's worshiping me now. Well, I'm just going to show him what it's like to worship me. And then he just starts pummeling you and confusing you and causing things to go the wrong direction. Then he says in verse 20, others though, now there's three kinds of bad things that happen with bad seed sowed or seed sowed in the wrong places. But look at this. Others like seed sown in the good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. The crop meaning good works, the crop meaning walking with God. The seed goes inside of us. We hear things and we go, wow, I want to be just like that. I want to do that. I want to be that. I want to do that in my life. Well, that's a good thing, you know, like we're hearing today. So the good seed of the Word of God that Jesus tells us in terms of our prosperity falls on us and we start doing those things that prosper us. And that's actually one of the reasons why the United States of America has done so well. Now, I don't want to get too nationalistic because there's a whole lot of sin and things we haven't done wrong and we're in danger of losing a whole lot because of the hardness of heart and the bad seed that's been sowed even in the last several generations. But nevertheless, it's true. There is so much good seed that's been sowed, so much good seed being sown by the believers, by the Christians, not the least of which is your ability to change history through your own prayers. People think, well, that's just this invisible thing. You know, it's kind of like, I don't want to be too monkish or kind of like weird. You know, it's, I don't know. I know that prayer exists, but, you know, there's 15 things I can remember. You know, where were you when I prayed this and that? Oh, how terrible. That's one of the worst deceptions that could ever possibly happen to a person is they lose their vision of communication with God and how eager he is to listen to you. You might have to start off with something like, Lord, forgive me. I confess what I did. I confess what I've been. But that's not where you want to spend most of your prayer. That's simple. I did it. Okay, fine. Now, let's talk about the rest of your life. Well, Lord, because of that, this has been destroyed. That's been messed up. Could we please turn the channel now? Amen. I thought you would never ask. Let's go, right? That's the way he is. So look at John 15, 1 to 8. Last thing we want to do is be independent from God. He says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's a scary one. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So sometimes bad things happen to good people. He prunes things off. He's shaping your heart up so you can receive more. He's only preparing your vessel so you can do better and receive more and be blessed in the things that really count and in life itself. Well, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. In other words, when you get cut back in something, what's the purpose? So it'll be get even more. He's not your enemy. He doesn't hate you. If you're in a pruning place, he's wanting you to cooperate with him, see what you need to do on your side, and then start praying like crazy for the good part, because actually every tree that doesn't need you to tell us, prune that thing back. Man, I got this insane tree in front of my house. It is absolutely an insane tree. I've come close to cursing that tree so many times because it causes me so much work. But then I got a different attitude. I think, you know what? That's a sign and wonder of my life. I trim this thing back, and this thing grows up before you know it, it swallows my house. That's what I want to be. That's a lesson for me. So every time next time I complain about pruning that crazy tree or having it pruned, please tell me, remind me what I just said here, all right? He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll grow, be even more fruitful. And so that's what happens to that tree. It just keeps on growing, man. Prune it back and it looks bad for 10 seconds. And all of a sudden, it's, there it goes again. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. In other words, you've received me. You already know how to live. You already got that inside of you. Now, pray for more. Pray for abundance. Look for abundance. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Stay close to me. I'm a good guy. I'm a good God, which is a lot better. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Stay close, not just to get stuff, but to feel. You were made for fellowship. You were made for this beautiful connection. You get lonely real fast. I don't care how many family members you got around you. You get lonely. How is it you can have a family and still feel lonely? Because there's only one thing that fills the loneliness, and that's the fellowship of the living God. The fellowship of the living God. When Adam fell, Jesus is looking for him. God's looking for him. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? I miss you. I am the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't be good. You can't do anything. That's a pretty big statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If that's really true, we better get to abiding, because things aren't going to work out so good. Now, almost always, things don't happen overnight. You know, one day everything's gone, although it did happen to Job, right? And guess what? God gave him twice as much. It was to prove something, that even if the worst could ever happen to you, lose everything, I'll give you back double, right? Because he didn't stray in his heart. He didn't leave God. But apart from him, God, you can do nothing. Job could have walked away from God. He didn't. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. Now, this is the key thing. So, just stay close to God. What you know to be true about God. Are you going to remain perfectly? No. That's why if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. To put that limb back that we chopped off. That part of the vine that we spoiled, right? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Whoa, that every once in a while I run across passages like this and I'm thinking, there are amazing benefits. Matter of fact, this one psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remain in me, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Are you serious? This is great news. This is to my Father's glory. He says, not only do I want to do that, but look at else. When it happens, when that good thing happens to you, it glorifies me. I like it. I'm not up there going, oh, man, okay, you barely escaped that. Okay, I'll give you a break. No, when you come take a step toward him, the angels are greeting you. Heaven's with you. And the faster you get rid of that stinking condemnation, the better. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You just got to agree with God. You did it, right? And turn. No more beautiful word in all the world than repentance. It sounds like, you slob, you did it again, blah, blah, blah. No, it's a beautiful word. God, sorry about that. Okay, son, let's get moving. That's where it goes, right? Now, sometimes a little slower than that, but always that's where you're headed. When you turn that direction, you're always headed in the right direction. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What brings the Father glory? That if the words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It glorifies God when he answers your prayer. See what I'm saying? God likes to answer your prayer. This is to my Father's glory, that you get many answers to prayer, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I like this whole thing. Just remain in me. Stay there. Stay close. And confession and admitting when you've done wrong is one of the easiest ways to do that. And then press in and pray confidently because you're ripe for a miracle. It's so important that we learn to organize our life, not only over individual things, but just to organize ourselves around God, because when you get into the possessions too far or into sin too deep, you start organizing your whole life, all your values, around the enemy. That's why it's so astounding sometimes as we see people in the world, you know, and they get deeper and deeper into darkness and they start organizing their whole life around that. And the idolatry, all of it, and the wages of sin is death. But look what he says here, Matthew 6:19. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, or thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One of the greatest gifts God gave us is the ability to tithe, the understanding of tithing, which is the first 10% of your income. But it's just the beginning of giving. But if you can do that, it's a big deal. It's a big step for us. Because what it does, it guards against this problem here. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there's all these moths and all this other junk. I avoid all of that, right? The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. What you yearn for, what you desire, what you look after, what you value. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then he turns the whole thing around and says, look, here's the bottom line. This is what I'm trying to say. No symbolism here. Look, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's impossible. You can lie to yourself. You can pretend. But what is the dominant thing in your life? When a person is in financial trouble, and many of us have been there, we all know it. All of us have been in trouble. All of us know. Does that dominate your life or whatever? Man, it dominates when you're in that space. But what about when you do the right thing and you prosper? Or even if you're maybe not prospering so great, but you know you've been sowing properly. You don't worry about it nearly as much. You know what? God's going to catch up with me. Because here's the promise right here. I didn't love money. I did what God said. I didn't love my possessions. I've been generous. I like to actually help people, and I do it. So I'm good, even if I go into a place where I get tested, even when I go to a place where I lost a job or had a problem. That's when we start dialing everything. But I'll tell you what, you just be a giver your whole life, and your time, your energy, and your money, and guess what? What you sow will come back on your head. And many of us have proved that in the halls of business, in the halls of... at every area of life that you go into, whatever arena it is. It's amazing. So then he summarizes the whole thing. So, by the way, this abundance that I want to give, this generosity, listen, this is where we're all headed. This is verse 31 of Matthew 6. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But the pagans, they all run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love this whole thing because it's one thing to have abundance, but it's another thing to have no worry. That's real true abundance. We reached abundance where you're not worried. You're not panicking over every moment of your life, over everything, and especially over your finances, right? And I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 6. Another wonderful section of Scripture. Listen to this. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversy and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing to the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Wow. Tell you what, I watched that one live out so many, many years. It's the difference between having enough and prospering and this insatiable desire to get richer and richer. And what is actually is happening there is you're just trying to get more and more secure because you're scared to death. And so you think if you have a pile of money, you'll be secure. So I have now this wonderful philosophical thing I'm going to say. I am young. I've been young and now I'm old. And I've watched a whole lot of people. Some crash and burn and some do well. But look, if you learn how to handle your money and be a generous person, you're going to do well. You're going to do well. You're going to do really well. Because with that, you solved a whole lot of other issues. Trust issues with God. A whole lot of things. You settled it. And then you proved God, too. You get a chance to prove it. Because not always when we're generous does it come right back on our head. Sometimes a little lag time, you know, where God's testing you. See if you really meant it. See if you're really worshiping Him or playing a game, right? And then all of a sudden, just at the moment, you think, whoa, no, what am I going to do? God does it again and again and again. He's telling you how to live. See, abundance and a generous lifestyle go together. And then we just read these passages after passages, which are so wonderful. Highlight, recommend you get this sermon if you don't have something like that already in a collection of all these scriptures because they're all here in one place. Look at this one. Do not judge and will not be judged. That's another way of messing up your life big time. I can't tell you how many people who get in a spirit of judgment over a relative, a friend, father, mother, close, far away. Wow, we have to be even careful how we judge other people that are in the news all the time. We can see when they do wrong. We can understand that. But there's a different thing than judging, right? Judging has no redemptive part in it. Yeah, this person's screwing up royally. They're not good, blah, blah, blah. But when you hold judgment, like you forget grace and you actually forget to pray for them, right? Which is the way out for us. So recognize right and wrong. But whatever you do, don't fall into this place of judgment, right? Because actually you're also saying when you fall in that judgment, like I don't do anything wrong. I'm just perfect. I'm just fine, thank you. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Then this one. Give and what? It'll be given to you. And how much? Whoa, I don't know. This is amazing to me. A good measure. I thought, well, give and it'll be given to you. Okay, I'll get a little bit. You know. No. And this is actually you should pray for. You could actually, do you agree with me that you could pray for scriptures and to come to pass? Right? Well, why don't we pray for the good measure? Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be more poured into your lap. For what the measure you use will be measured to you. Well, you don't understand. I don't have enough education for that. I haven't had a good break in business for years. You know, I don't know. Oh, didn't say any of that, did it? Given will be given to you. And by the way, what you don't have, you get to ask for, which is the genius of prayer and the beauty of prayer and the loveliness of prayer. Like, and even when things are wrong, I get to take a scripture out of this Bible and take it back to God and say, look, this is what you said. Yeah. And you stand on firm footing. You're not angry. You're not haughty. You're just saying, look, this is your word. I just pray it back to you, and I just want to thank you in advance for the good measure I'm about to live in. Amen. Malachi 3:18. Sorry, 8. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. Yikes. I won't be robbing God. He's big. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. The tithe in the Jewish culture was the first tenth of their income. And there were offerings that they did on top of that. It was a normal part of their lifestyle. It was part of God's command for them. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be enough room to store it. God bless the pilgrims and all our church fathers who understood all of these principles and lived them out and provided the framework for our nation. God bless them. because they were believers. They understood these things and they followed them with all their heart. And they opened the doors of heaven to our country in a way that we couldn't have imagined, because their heart was to form a godly country, a godly nation, these early pioneers. Many of them were coming to look for a new life, and there was a new spirituality that began to spread throughout the whole world simply because they were in search of God in a new way. It's brought blessing to the world as a result. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. I hate pests like that. Talking in our terms, your money, right? Maybe your crops. And the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. Opportunity will just come to pass. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And there's this nation. You know what this nation is called? It's called the Holy Nation. There's nations around the world, the United States, Mexico, all the Europeans. But then there's this thing called the Holy Nation. That's us. We're the Holy Nation. We're the nation amongst the nations. Isn't that great? We're God's holy nation. And so God blesses us and even will bless nations that turn and are generous to others in this way, in ways of taking care of the poor and the weak and the broken, right? Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, their heart will be also. See, the thing is about all this is abundance in every way is available, but the question is whether you're going to use it to worship this stuff called money or jobs or whatever it is, right? Or God. Because where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. And I want your heart. And then the eye of the lamp is the body, but if your eyes are is the lamp of the body, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. But then the light within you is darkness. How great is that darkness? I don't want darkness roaming around. I got enough problems. Then he's okay, how's all the poetry? Remove the poetry. Here. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other. He'll be devoted to the one, despise the other. And there he goes right here. You cannot serve both God and money. It's impossible. Now, the thing is, almost everybody in this room, I say, I don't serve money. But a little bit of that can leaven the whole lump. So you want to guard against that in every way in your life, not serving money, not living under that whole unction, not worshiping it, so that all your body, everything about you can be full of light, even things that have nothing to do with money, but have to do with your prosperity, your grace over your life. I just see all kinds of opportunity here. I don't see a problem. I see an opportunity here. And if you haven't lived in this way of being generous for a while, try it out. And also, I'll tell you what, we're going to get to this in a minute, but he says to test me. So God's so generous, he'll give you a little testing time. Just try this for a while and see what happens. Because the other way obviously has not worked out. Right? It hasn't worked out. 2 Corinthians 9:6-15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And I want to just tell you this. This has to do with all parts of your life. Sowing time. Sowing energy. Whatever you sow toward another person. Money. Everything. Look at this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Everything you give, every kind word you say, every help that you give, every kind thing, kind deed you do, guess what? You can't out-sow God. Boy, when you learn that, you start going, whoa, this is really good. I think I'll start a Mercy Warehouse. Which, by the way, has cost us dearly. But that's not causing us dearly anymore because the harvest has come. So we sowed, and sowed for years, and out comes the blessing on the other end. Each of you should decide what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why does he love a cheerful giver? Because he wants to torment you? No, he loves a cheerful giver because he wants you to get the full revelation. Look, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Why would you be depressed? You could be a cheerful giver because, like, I'm going to turn it into blessing. Don't worry about that. Just don't let that greed thing grab you and make you depressed and discouraged and send you right down to the destroyer, because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The problem is sometimes we sow and then we don't reap for a while and then we get tested about it, right? Those are hard times to live through, I think, sometimes. But think of it this way. Wow, I've sowed. God, I'm good. So it's just a matter of time before I get blessed. It's a matter of time before God catches up with me. He'll test you on that every once in a while. It's kind of a scary time. In lots of ways. Lots of ways. Not just financially either. Maybe somebody here in this room, maybe there's several of you that have been sowing prayer for those loved ones and serving your children maybe who haven't been doing so well and loving their kids and taking care of them maybe as grandparents are. There's all kinds of giving and generosity that can be given. Time is huge. They even say time is money. Sowing time is a huge issue. What you sow, you reap. If you sow time into your kids, sow time into people, sow time and generous with that too. God's able to bless you abundantly so in all things at all times, having all that you need. That's too good. I got to read this again. Oh, let's go ahead. Each of you should give time, money, whatever it is, what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I was there on the other side in the children's ministry today, and I'm sitting there, and I'm studying a little bit, and I'm getting so blessed. Because all I'm hearing over there is voices of joy and happiness. And these are all people that volunteer, some of them for weeks at a time. And I thought to myself, man, they got music going on, people are dancing around, kids are running around, they're having a great time. I thought, this is the happiest place. It's not in Disneyland, it's right here. This is the happiest place on earth, right across that wall, right? I just really enjoyed that. I just sat there and listened to it. Oh, man, that sounds so good. They're not only, you know, I got volunteers there. Shame on you when you go to do children's work reluctantly and under that heavy thing. Oh, my gosh. That's a big problem. You just missed your blessing. Go there and serve those kids and give your time. Because then you get the blessing. Then you kind of get this feel of, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, I'm sowing things. I still got stuff in me, and I've been reminded of this. I don't know why this Christmas is reminding me of something. I got stuff in me that came from my first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade teachers in Sunday school. It's still in me. Things they said, I never forgot. God took those seeds, and he sowed them in me. And you don't have to, you get to do this, and you sow it, and God puts back your time, whatever you put over there, he puts it back on you and blesses, you're blessing other people. And guess what? There's a joy to it, and there's a goodness to it. And then you get this verse, each of you should give what, look at 7, give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctant or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Now look at this verse. This is incredible. So look at this. So that in how many things? All things. I mean, even when I'm sick, yeah. Even when I'm not doing well, even when I lost my job, even when my kids aren't doing well. So then all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. God bless a city that allows us to do what we do over in the warehouse. Because you're not only helping us to bless others, you're blessing your own city, your own town. When you open the doors, when our cities open the doors to allow us to do the things they've done, they get nothing but a blessing back. Because they're part of the sowing that's going on. Thousands and thousands of dollars, more than thousands, sowed into our community. Sowed into housing and food and jobs, every kind of provision you could imagine coming from this place called Mercy Warehouse. God bless the city for putting up with us, allowing us to open these doors to do this. And it will be blessed. It will be blessed. And we're blessed. And the city's blessed. And the area is blessed. There isn't a person I ever meet in a store anywhere in this area that doesn't know where the Mercy Warehouse is. I tried it out. I was in Walmart the other day. I tried it out there. I thought I'd go over to Home Depot, try it out over there. And then I was a long way away. I was in Mission Viejo somewhere, and I just casually mentioned the Mercy Warehouse. Oh, I love that place. It's always the same because they get a good deal. But it's a good deal because it's a good deal for other people. Why would I want to build something and just as a good deal for everybody? Who cares? There's not enough money in it to do that. There's not enough profit in it to do that. I think of a dozen other things. I'll just get a great tenant like I used to have, raise the rent all the time, be fine. But this is so much more fun. The other thing's not fun at all. This is a lot of fun. We used to have tenants like that, you know. They didn't bother us. We didn't bother them. Just just got their money and that's it. But that wasn't any fun. This is a lot of fun. You'll be enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. That's exactly what's happening to us. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When you give like that, personally, corporately, however you do, people start even praying for you and blessing you in the invisible world with genuine heart and genuine blessing. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Who would that be? Jesus. The most generous of all, the example for every one of us. Why should you prosper? Because of the Father's good heart toward you, number one. And because of the Father's good heart toward others, because he wants us to be a provision to them and provide for them. Look at Ephesians 4:28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. You just got there. This one scripture explains 50,000 scriptures about your purpose, right? You do work not only for what you need, but so you might have something to share with those in need. Talk about God blessing the work of your hands. He wants to bless your work of your hands because you bless others. That's an incredible thing. There's promise after promise like that. Our challenge here is to actually believe in the goodness of God that actually he really means these things. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Oh boy, I really like that word, everything. He said it, God, you said it. I see it right here. Everything. Sometimes I don't need money. I need something else. Everything for my enjoyment. Everything. Command them to do good, to be rich in good needs, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves, a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And that coming age life is a big deal, too. I haven't mentioned that. But this spills over into eternity, to reward in eternity. So let's look at Roman numeral 3. How to break the spirit that leads to poverty. Poverty of heart, and also poverty of resources. Romans chapter 8. Because there's a spirit to this. It keeps people in bondage for generations. And we don't want that. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Could I just say that to you guys in this new year? If God's for me, who can be against me? What a scripture. For he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He proved that he likes us. How we also not also along with him graciously give us how what? What? All things. Even things you don't think he would be gracious about. He likes all of it. He's okay with it all. Anything that blesses you, he's okay with. Just make sure that you share. Make sure that you're open. Make sure you don't let that become your worship. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Are you kidding me? Through my trouble, my trial, Jesus Christ is interceding for me. He's praying for me. He's caring about me. I tell you, for all of you that have been in a hard place for a long time, physically, mentally, emotionally, the Son of God is interceding for you. He invites you to come and intercede with him for that problem and that issue. He didn't leave you. He hasn't left you alone. Let God adopt you and fill you with his fatherly heart. I love this so much, these verses, Romans chapter 8, 15 and 16. The Spirit himself, that Spirit that comes on the inside of us. Oh, I'm going to go earlier. Let me go earlier. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. People that are wrapped up in their money are some of the most fearful, insecure people I've ever met and do the most terrible, horrible things because they're so afraid. They're afraid of loss. They're afraid of this. They're afraid of that. The Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves like that. No, you don't live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we scream, we yell, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies that strong word with our spirit that we're God's kids. We know who we are. Now, if we're kids, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order we also share in his glory. So there's downsides, there's bad things that happen in our life. Oh, but there's glorious things, and all of it's mixed together, and it turns out for glory because we all know where we're ultimately headed, right? We all know where we go. We all know where this is going. We have confidence in our life. We have meaning in our life. So that's why 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 says, you know what? Here, I just recommend you guys do this. I recommend that you take every thought captive in lieu of all of this. Just take it captive. Take every thought captive. That's something that all of us get to do. And then we need to choose clearly who we're going to serve in this life. And these things that Jesus taught about, he said, you know, when you're not clear about these things, your eyes get dark. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 to 24, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. You know what? Listen to me. Most of us say, I don't serve money, you know. But guess what? We all do at times. That little thing comes creeping in. You know how I know it's creeping in me? When I start getting too worried about money, darkness starts coming. The lights start going out all over the place. Well, I get too concerned, and I put a nice spiritual tab on it, you know, like, well, you know, I just going to have to endure da-da-da-da. But I'm terrified, you know. I haven't proved that God is faithful. I don't believe. You know, when I go in that unbelief, my heart gets dark, and it gets tormented. And the enemy comes and torments me and says, you're never going to get that fixed, or that's never going to happen. But look, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. So when you get in that space where you find your stuff is controlling you a little bit too much, you feel the darkness on the inside of you, right? You can feel it. You know, why am I feeling so depressed, discouraged? You gave up. You started going the other way. You thought everything, your provision was based on this thing or this breakthrough financially, whatever, right? Psalm 32, as I'm closing out this here today, it's one of the most beautiful things. I'm just going to read this whole psalm because it's so overwhelming. I'll probably stop here. Oh, go to Isaiah 54, too. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. I'm going to look at a bunch of people whose transgressions are forgiven, right? Whose sins are covered. That's the most important news of all. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent about that stuff, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for nay and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. So I recommend you just, if you did it, just say you did it. Stop messing around. Just, I did it. Sorry, Lord, I did it, right? And that's some of the best advice I probably could give you for this whole time that I've been talking about you. For day and night, verse 4, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. Lord, in this dangerous, horrible world that we're living in, Lord, all this difficulty, if we don't know about the bad news, we get the news to remind us all. And when some of us sit hours in front of the news just to see how scared we should be this week. You're not my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. How different that is. We're singing these songs. You ever notice how when you're singing and worshiping, how you just your spirit rises up? You know why? Because you're singing songs of deliverance and the demons are running away and the angels are coming in. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule who have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Sometimes we have to be controlled by bit and bridle, by loss, by sickness, whatever. We get controlled by negative things, so we'll come back to the Lord. Just come back to the Lord and not go through that part, right? And the only reason why he's doing that is because if you keep going down the road, it's going to get worse and worse for you. Choose God and live, even in the difficult times. I don't want to be controlled by bit and bridle, my trouble. I don't want to have to always be controlled by my fire insurance, right? Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds who? The one who trusts in him. Rejoice, Lord, and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. And that's what we do here, right? I want to just skip to Isaiah 54 and I'll finish. 1-5. That point C in your outline is good too, but I just want to go right here. Well, I can't do it. I got to do this. This is too good. Listen to this. This is how simple it is. Here's Jabez. Man, I tell you, we went Jabez crazy when this first came out. Like, I remember that guy that wrote the book. This is 2 Chronicles 4, 9-10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I give birth to him in pain. So evidently, Jabez means pain. I'd like to be born and your mom calls you pain. Some of your mothers did call you pain, directly or indirectly. This guy's named Pain. so funny. Okay, because it says here, Jabez sounds like the Hebrew for pain. So, because main, and obviously there's birth pains, but she just like pinned the whole thing and just started calling him Jabez his whole life. Poor guy. But Jabez got smart because he had this like curse thing poured out on him. Then he goes like this. Then Jabez, this guy that's named Pain, come over here, Pain. Hey. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. So Pain just says, you know, I'm sick of these people pinning pain on me all the time. Lord, that you would bless me. I want to be named Bless. So it's, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so I'll be free from pain. I don't want pain. I declare myself free from pain. This is an amazing passage. And then here's the thing. Keep me free from harm, so I'll be free from pain. Then God goes like this. Okay. And God granted his request. Now, here's this guy named Jabez. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like Jabez. You've got a lot of pain in your life. God, bless me and give me some stuff. Enlarge my territory. God said, okay. Could it be that simple? Yes, it could be that simple. Sing, barren woman, Isaiah 54, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you, let's all stand, you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Lord, anybody in this room that feels a shame on, I just declare that. I rebuke shame off of you. I don't care if you've carried it for 5 minutes or 5 years. Lord, I pray you'd reveal to them that they're carrying shame. Lord, I just pray you'd rebuke it. Rebuke the shame, Lord. Rebuke the shame. Rebuke the shame. Enlarge the place of your tent. I'm going to start verse 2 again. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. I declare this blessing over our people in this new year. Your descendants will dispossess nations, dispossess things that are controlling things, dispossess things that are standing in the way of God, dispossessing things that are causing us to suffer financially or been attacking us, things that we will dispossess them. We will get rid of them. And we will settle instead in those places, and we will be blessed. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame this year. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. Some of you are facing diseases, sicknesses, things, circumstances, divorces, whatever it is. And one of the biggest issues is you've been humiliated, overwhelmed. But this is not your route. This is not what you get from walking with God. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God, for abundance in every way. Thank you, Spirit. Lord, I just ask you, God, to let this word go deep into everybody's heart. May this be an amazing year of prosperity and, as I put on the title, abundance in every way. Abundance in your health. Abundance in your body. Abundance in your relationships with your husbands and wives and friends and children. Abundance financially. Abundance everything you put your hand to. May the Lord prosper you. May the Lord help you. I just think that it might be a great idea for some of you. You're doing it right now. I can see it. I can feel it right now. But I think some of you, because of our corporateness, could take advantage today of someone declaring that over you as well, just together. We like to do that together in twos, because the Bible says if two of you agree about anything. So you that are ministering today and would like to help anybody that comes forward and to pray with them, just agree with them in prayer over a simple blessing that they want in their lives. God, I like my job. I need a job. God, I need my children to straighten out. God, I need my health back. God, and I think there's a little opportunity of faith here, because faith makes the world go around. Why don't you just come forward here, and just, if that's what you want, you can do it from your seat as well, but this is an act of your faith. If you feel like, just come to the front. And I'll pray over you. Maybe some others will pray for you. And we're going to ask God to move and dispossess things. And we're going to move into this place of abundance. Even today is an act of your faith, all right? Holy Spirit, just rest on us. I pray even right now, transaction will be made in the Spirit. Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit and our faith. Lord, I pray faith transactions would go up in this place. You don't have to come up here. You can stay where you are if you like. But something about this with other people agreeing is so powerful. So all we're going to do is we're going to pronounce a blessing over you. Some of you, the whole issue is not even about money. It's about something else. But remember, I entitled this Abundance in Every Way. Healing your heart, healing your body, getting out of a stinking circumstance that has dogged you for years, getting out of a housing situation that has just did you in. A loss of friendship, a loss of belonging, a loss of wisdom. You don't know what to do. Lord, I pray every place, every situation, every way that we need something back from you, I pray this would be a line of demarcation. And today would be the beginning, not only of a new year, but a new season of great abundance. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.